The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
It's the 4 o'clock hour of Bob Burney Live on a Friday. Phone lines are waiting just for you at 877 Bob Live. 877-262-5483. We can talk about whatever you want to talk about today. Let me give you some updates. We've been following the case of a barbershop owner up in Michigan. His last name is Mankey, Carl Mankey. He is 77 years old, and he has decided to defy the governor's order up in the state of Michigan, the governor's order, the Department of Health, and so forth. They have ordered him to close down his shop. He did for a time. It was sometime, I think, last week. He decided, hey, this is my business. I can't go on any longer. I need the money. My clients need my haircuts. And so he decided to open. Well, the governor, the attorney general, said, no, 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 you're not. Carl Mankey, 77 years old, says, oh, yes, 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 I am. And so he opened up, and the state has issued two tickets. They suspended his barber license, and someone yesterday said, are you still cutting hair? And his response was, oh, heavens, yes. He said, listen, I've been in this business for 59 years. If she wants to come and cut my hands off, well, that's another story, referring to the governor. Well, here is the good news. Late yesterday afternoon, a judge rejected a request to force the scissors out of the hands of a defiant Michigan barber during the coronavirus pandemic. Quote, the state health department failed to show that Carl Mankey's shop was a specific threat to public health, said County Judge Matthew Stewart. Mankey reopened his shop on May 4th, drawing customers from across the state, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He received two tickets. They suspended his barber's license. But the judge has ruled against the state. The judge said, photos and an affidavit from Michigan's chief medical executive were not enough to show that haircutting and the shop conditions would contribute to the spread of the coronavirus and COVID-19. The judge said, quote, that's not enough to tip the scales, no matter how great the public emergency. He did say it was a close call. He repeatedly noted, this again is the judge, he repeatedly noted that authorities could have arrested Mankey if they actually believed his shop was a steady danger. Quote, you can't just argue COVID is awful, it's killing people. Who disputes that? They have to show the barbershop is spreading the virus, and I saw clearly it did not. So, good news, at least for now. I have no idea whether the state will appeal it, but 77-year-old Carl Mankey has taken on the state of Michigan, and for now, he has won. And his shop is open. The story does not say whether his license has been returned to him. Don't know. But Carl Mankey has no intention of closing down his shop. Good for Carl Mankey, barber in Michigan. And then here's good news for people all over Central Ohio and, well, all over the Midwest. The Ark Encounter and the Creation Museum will reopen on June 8th. June 8th. Both of them closed down when all of this hit. And by the way, next week I will have Mark Loy on the program. I think I have him scheduled for, I think, Wednesday of next week. Mark Loy is the co-founder of Answers in Genesis, which is the organization behind the Creation Museum and the Ark. You hear the name Ken Ham constantly, but Mark Loy was the he was the businessman behind it. He's a good friend, and he will be coming on the program next week to explain all that they had to do to reopen. And I'd like to hear from him, and I think you would love to hear a little bit about the history of how Answers in Genesis was founded, how they decided on Northern Kentucky for the Creation Museum, the Ark Encounter, and so on and so forth. But anyway, the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter will open on June 8th. According to the story, Ken Ham, CEO and founder of Answers in Genesis, told the Christian Post that he could not overstate how challenging it's been after the state ordered facilities like ours to shut down. Again, quoting from Ken Ham, "A major source of income at AIG has been the revenue generated at our two attractions, and that money has simply disappeared. Sadly, we had to temporarily lay off 800 staff." I had no idea that they had that many. Now, hey, both of these are huge operations, and let me just say this. If you haven't been to the Creation Museum, go. I can almost promise you it will exceed your expectations. It will. And then Ark Encounter. You got to see it to believe it. It's just incredible. When you go to the Ark Encounter, you get off the highway. You get off, 77. And the parking lot is right off 77. It's very close. You can't see the Ark. You park in the parking lot, and you take a shuttle to the Ark. And it's a long, winding road from the parking lot. You go down into this valley, and all of a sudden, you turn a corner, come up out of the valley, and just suddenly, this monstrous Ark appears in the distance. It is incredibly impressive. But they had to lay off 800 staff. But anyway, the good news, the Ark Encounter Creation Museum will both be reopening on June 8th. And, of course, they will have all of the safety measures in place, social distancing and all of that stuff. But those of you who are looking for a trip, someplace to go, you might want to check out the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter. Opening up, reopening on June 8th. That is good news. All right, we'll take a quick break. Whole lot of other things to share with you. One of my callers in the last segment referred to a mandate issued by the president. Yeah, wait till you hear this. It's good news. We'll be back.
Like Bob on Facebook at facebook.com/BobBurneyLive.
And again, welcome to Bob Burney Live. Love him, hate him, this president is standing stronger on religious freedom and liberty than any president in my lifetime, and that's been quite a while. One of the huge debates in this whole pandemic shutdown, stay-at-home, quarantine order is the place of churches. And mostly liberal Democratic governors have shut down churches. Well, I'm not an expert on anything, but I believe that is absolutely, clearly unconstitutional. And again, fortunately, and I've been critical of some of the things that Governor DeWine has done here in the state of Ohio, but I must say he has from day one understood the constitutional right to gather and worship. When he shut down the state, he made it clear that churches were exempt. He requested strongly that churches not meet together. And probably 99% of all the churches in Ohio took that advice and they shut down. They went to streaming, they went to drive-in services and so forth. But here in the state of Ohio, it was never mandatory. That's not the case, however, in many Democrat-led states. California, still, you can't meet. New York, I'm not going to try to guess the others. But anyway, today, from the White House, Donald Trump has declared an executive order that churches are to be considered essential. Because almost everywhere, essential businesses have been allowed to continue. But it had to be considered essential. A grocery store. Home Depot. Yeah, that's really essential. Yeah. Lowe's. Really. But anyway, but many of the states, churches were not considered to be essential. Here is from the Washington Post, which, by the way, absolutely hates Donald Trump. Breaking news. President Trump said that if governors do not follow his recommendation to allow in-person religious services to resume, he will override them. Trump did not specify what that means, and he did not take any questions. Quote, in America, we need more prayer, not less, the president said. So the president has made it very clear that as we open up America, churches are to be considered essential. So they give the quote, but then they immediately, the very next paragraph, the Washington Post says, with experts warning of a second wave of infections in part of the South and Midwest, blah, 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 blah. So they at least report that the president has declared nationwide that churches are essential and that governors had better reverse themselves or the force of the Justice Department is going to come against those states. So once again, the president has come down on the right side of religious liberty and religious freedom. Good for him. It should be up to the individual churches to decide when they meet, how they meet, and so forth. And hopefully they will use wisdom and common sense. All right, let's go to the phones, and we've got Jason in Delaware. Jason, it's been a while. How are you?
Oh, doing great. Doing great.
Always good to talk to you. I was wondering how you were doing because I hadn't heard from you for a while.
Yeah, very good. Very busy. Very busy. But yeah, just calling in to chime in on the freedom of assembly. First is a question, the second is a comment. First is, in those liberal states, is it applied across the board? If it's only Christians, that's a big eyebrow raiser. If it's synagogues, mosque, temples, Buddhist temple, here in Delaware County, we got a Hindu temple. If it's applied across the board, well, at least they're consistent. I don't like it. At least they're consistent. And then I got a quick comment and kind of a question.
Well, to, to, quick, do, to quickly try to answer your question, I don't know. And I have tried to find that out. I know that in New York, it is stated as an across-the-board prohibition for gathering, but only Christians and Jews have been named specifically by the governor. Whether that applies to mosques in New York and California, I honestly don't know, and I've tried to find out, and I can't find any reliable sources to give me the answer. So I don't know.
And then my second, it's also a question. I remember, again, I didn't like Obama and all of his executive orders because they went against us.
Mm-hmm.
And just as the president did a couple, maybe a year ago, maybe long, I can't remember the time frame, but he gave an executive order on freedom of speech at college campuses.
Right.
This seems redundant. Why do you need an executive order when it's already in the Constitution? As the executive branch, I hate this. I mean, this is terrible what I'm about to say. But as the executive commander in chief, he should maybe be like JFK when it was time to integrate. He sent the troops in. And I hate to say that. That's terrible. But this is America. You do not. It's already federal law. We don't need to have an executive order for the 13th Amendment to enforce slavery. We've already abolished slavery. We've already freed the Christians.
Yeah.
We don't have to do the Mayflower anymore. We're done with the Mayflower. There's no other place to run to. So I don't like to say this, but someone needs to say to the liberals, you don't want your mosque, and I almost guarantee you, sir, the mosques aren't shut down. Almost guarantee you. Someone needs to get right in their face, like JFK, a Democrat, by the way, and say, you need to knock this off. This is federal law.
Yeah.
There's been enough blood and treasure. My dad sits crippled fighting the North Vietnamese communists for this. You need to knock it off now. And I hate to be that stern, but they're like bullies, and I think just a little bit of a bloody nose, they're like, sorry. And I hope it never comes to that, but I don't like executive orders. Conservative, well, or I'm tired of it.
Yeah,
on the Constitution.
At this point, the president has not stated how he is going to enforce this. I would assume that the first method of enforcing this executive order is through the courts and mandates from the Justice Department. Would it come to some kind of force in allowing churches to reopen under this executive order? And I'm with you. I hope it doesn't come to that. But we simply can no longer allow our constitutional rights to be willy-nilly, and as you pointed out, a very inconsistent manner. We can't allow that to stand. So I'm proud of the president. We'll see how he enforces this and how the liberal governors respond. Jason, thanks. Have a great weekend. We'll be back.